Microsoft issues security updates for its products every month, despite the introduction of its Trustworthy Computing Initiative to raise security standards in its software several years ago. These continual updates, coupled with several unscheduled emergency updates, have led some end users to believe Trustworthy Computing is failing. Not so, says George Stathakopoulos, General Manager for Trustworthy Computing at Microsoft. Updates are an example of transparency and prove the process is working, he says. At Microsoft's Redmond, Washington headquarters, I asked him how the Trustworthy Computing program has evolved since it was introduced, where it is now, and where it is likely to go in the next 2 years.
We started Trustworthy Computing in 2001, and this was in response to a series of events, viruses and worms that hit our products, and it was a huge negative effect on reputation and the reputation of our products. So we decided to do something radical, draw a line in the sand inside the company, and we considered that security should become a primary pillar, and we should work to make sure that our products over time become more secure. So at the time, it was a very difficult situation because there was a big surface, a lot of products, a lot of people to, you know, introduce them to the security space, change the culture of the company, create new tools, build internal knowledge. So it was a very hard struggle. It took us about 2 to 3 years to get to the point where we had some control, kind of like if you have a fire, wildfire, you put it under control, and actually start changing the mentality inside the product groups of how to write better and more secure code. We have been very effective. We have actually seen a phenomenal increase in the security of our products from release to release as they're going through a series of regimented steps of how to do with security. In the process, we invented new steps, new processes. We invented the security development lifecycle, which is now the process by which all eligible products in Microsoft have to go through before they ship. We invented a very robust security response system. We invented a very robust partner system in order to have defense in depth. And we also invented a great emergency response system that we deployed when we need it. So this is in the first like 3 to 4 years, we learned a lot the hard way, we built a lot the hard way, and now we have a fairly good, you know, robust system. And I think you can even say that our reputation is a lot better in security. If nothing else, I think we are considered one of the leading companies in the security space. As we look forward and as we look from where we are to what we see in the future, the first thing I gotta tell you is we're still not done. We still have a lot of work ahead of us. We still have to innovate. We still have to invent a lot of new tools. We still have to make our processes better. And we still have to, like, you know, make our products as robust as possible. The goal, as I always used to say, zero bugs, right? Still far away from there. You know, software is, you know, math is against me, but our goal is to try to get as close as we can to that. Now, for the future, a lot of the things we have to go do is we have to figure out how trust encompasses, it's not just simply about security, it's not simply about privacy, but it's something bigger. It's about trust. It's how we provide the user a robust hardware, how the operating system and the hardware talk to each other to put in a secure and safe state and a predictable state, how applications on the top of the system can run again in a secure and safe state, but also the operating system knows what the applications are. And this is kind of like some of the stuff that we have to do, not by ourselves, but with the whole security community, and that includes other vendors and other ISVs and security vendors. On the top of that, it requires social change. A lot of the things that we right now do, we have to rethink very carefully what those things mean on the net, for example, privacy, how do we respect somebody's privacy, and so on. And then, and it requires some political changes. And this is some of the stuff we're working right now.
So Trustworthy Computing has the highest level of executive support, but how are they measuring the impact, the progress, and the return on investment?
To be very clear, we would never have succeeded unless we had executive support. And maybe one of the things that has been a very good motivator for the company was the fact that there was executive support. So Microsoft is a very metrics company, and the way we make our decisions is we put a lot of data and we put some metrics and goals and commitments, and then we try to follow through and make sure we actually meet them. When it comes to the point of security, there's a whole set of things you can actually measure. We can measure the number of security vulnerabilities, and you want to see them decreasing over time, something we have achieved. You can measure the number of infections that happen in the latest version of our products, and again, it's another metric we measure and we see it decreasing. But overall, I think if you could say that how would you measure the success of Microsoft over all those years, I think it would be our reputation. You know, I used to talk in front of customers all the time, in the old days and the new days, and it's a clear difference, the way they talk about our products. I don't even remember the last time I had a customer telling me, that they'd much rather switch to Linux because of security. Don't even remember the last time I had this discussion, right? So I think if you put the reputation the reputation as one thing, and if you really put the fact that the products are better, right? The newer products are for sure better. The service packs are for sure better, right? Then I think we've done quite a lot.
But can you share with our listeners a specific kind of metric?
So, for example, one of the ways I get evaluated in the company is for products that have not gone through the security process, to the products that have gone through the security process, what we like to see is reduction to about 50% of vulnerabilities in the first 180 days. So basically, from the 180 days from the time Windows XP shipped, you receive, let's say, X amount of vulnerabilities. What we want to see is for Vista, the first 180 days, we need to do X divided by 2. And we have achieved actually quite well. Vista did about 66 or 70% better than Windows XP. Not only that, another metric would be, and it's something we publish in the Security Intelligence Report, we ship every 6 months. One of the other metrics is we try to see how many infections per 1,000 machines you get per operating system. So this is how it works. Every second Tuesday of the month, we release a malicious software removal tool. This tool cleans the most prominent family infections from a customer base. It runs in hundreds of millions of machines. And what we do is we divide the number of machines by the popularity of the operating system to remove popularity. So there's no difference between deployment of Windows XP V2 versus Vista and so on. And what we find out is in Windows XP proper, out of 1,000 machines we touch, 35 of them will be infected. By the time you hit Windows XP SP2, you go down to about 8. By the time you hit Vista, you go to about 4. By the time you hit Vista SP1, especially in 64-bit, you go to 1 to 0. So that is a phenomenal change. So I guess if there's one advice I can give to your readers is, at minimum, install the service packs.
Okay, so then what is the role or the importance of trustworthy computing then in Microsoft's overall business strategy?
So there's a couple things here. So trustworthy computing was originally intended to be the conscience of Microsoft. Our job is to negotiate and talk to the different product groups, explain them what security is, but also hold the line, hold some sort of a bar that they could not go beyond before they release. I think what has happened over the last few years, a lot of the groups have understood the security implications, and they understood what it means to have security development. At the same time, they have, I think, understood how security can actually enable them. There used to be a person in my team, Michael Howard. He used to say to me, if you see a dialogue that says access denied, I've done my job. And then I used to say, well, that's not the role of security. Security is not about access denied. Security is about enabling a whole new set of scenarios. So if you could use your phone to check inside your airplane and they would not even check you, that would be nice. And the only way you can achieve this is if security achieves a level where people will trust your cell phone and you. So this is the kind of stuff that I think that if you do this one right, a whole new set of business scenarios could open because of security.
We were saying earlier, though, that you've seen improvements in order of magnitude, but sort of the regular updates and particularly the emergency sort of unscheduled updates does create the perception that trustworthy computing is not perhaps working as well as Microsoft says it is.
So there's a couple of things. We said in 2001 that this will be a 10-year plus, 10 to 15-year effort. Still a 10 to 15-year effort, right? We're still on the way to fix this and make it better. So although I'd love to say that everything we put in there will be perfect, right? Although I'd love to say that everything we'll do will remove every possible vulnerability, and we know, just it's not possible. So our goal for us is to constantly innovate. Not only that, take a lot of the lessons we learned the hard way inside our struggle and actually give them outside so other people can learn too. And I think perception is not only by the sheer statistics, but perception is for people really realizing the effort that you put into your products. So the out-of-band experience that we had over, I think, like December, it is actually an example of trustworthy computing. It is an example of transparency that we decided to talk about the topic, that they're not talking about the topic. It's an example of us getting out and trying to get as many people as we could, notify them and get them to install and push the patch out there. And it's also an example of a predictable schedule that works for most of the people. And when things go really wrong, of something changing, an event that changes and makes people move forward. But still a lot of work.
Now, to talk about the operating system specifically, yeah. Windows 7, like Vista, end-to-end secure development, a lifecycle process. But some would argue that Windows can't ever be secure by design because of all the close links to other Microsoft software like Internet Explorer.
First, I have to do some props for Windows 7 because I gotta tell you, that's a pretty awesome operating system. Sorry, I have to do that. Now, this side goes. There's a lot of criticism about, like, you know, how things get tied into the operating system or not, and so on. From a security point of view, so if you remove the business arguments and the legal arguments and all the other stuff, from a security point of view, you're dealing with what we call attack surface. The more functionality you add to your base operating system, to your base core functionality, the more exposure you have. If you're gonna browse, then you expose yourself to attacks through a browser. It doesn't matter if this is Internet Explorer or Firefox or Opera or who knows what, or Safari, right? So the argument that you integrate for security kind of purposes, I think it doesn't really hold because you still have to browse. It doesn't matter which, you know, you can still put another browser and have the same exposure through a different browser. I think the real argument should be all about security development processes. Do the applications that you add, is the attack surface that you have added inside your operating system have been thought of? Is there a threat model about it? Is there engineering behind it to say that, you know, it has reached quality? Is there a bunch of other things like security architecture and defense in depth to put everything in place? And that should be the real argument for security.
To wrap up then, earlier you said that it's kind of a 10-year project, yeah, at least. Are we on schedule? Are we where you would like to be? Are you happy with the progress? Or are we kind of slightly ahead of that schedule? Where are we now in 2009?
I think it's kind of mixed. I think one of the things that we found out early and we continue learning right now is that as we're building new and better defenses, so do the criminals and the attackers who start building better attacks. So you're in this constant struggle of, like, you know, cat and mouse game and shields and swords. And I believe that in certain cases, like, you know, software quality and software reliability of our products, I think we are just at par. We're doing quite well. I think in defense in depth, where we build additional defensive mechanisms inside the operating system, we're ahead of the game. I think in the overall threat modeling of the security ecosystem, like, you know, of the internet ecosystem, how you interact in the internet, and I think we still have a lot to learn. And it's something that, at least in my mind, it's not just a Microsoft thing. It has to be a community thing. I think it has to be the wider community thing that has to come together. And I believe it is important that it's not something we do by ourselves. The dialogue has to be open. People have to contribute, and we have to work together.
For Computer Weekly, I'm Warwick Ashford.